When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Rolling into hour number three of Bart and Han. Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. 800-919-3776 is the number to be part of the conversation. We got lots to get to with you, of course. We have calls to get to with you. Concerns about the Knicks last night. Concerns more about Tom Thibodeau and what he said about Julius Randle. If you're wondering when the team is going to clear him for contact, Tibbs suggests it's not the team that's going to clear him. It's the player that has to clear himself for contact. There's that. There is the Stephon Diggs trade that the Bills are making with the Texans. So he's now out of Buffalo. And who's in Buffalo with all the pieces that have left that team over this past offseason? Are they the same team that you have to worry about as much in the AFC East? And is the door open now for the Jets, who have remade their roster and added to their roster? And all you got to worry about is just be healthy. So there's plenty more to get to there. Mets already rained out today, tonight, if you're wondering. And the Yankees are in Arizona. They lost last night. Of course, plenty more to talk about with that. But Bart, before we do anything more, it's hour number three. It's Bart and Han. So what does that mean?
It's the power hour.
You're absolutely cheating. You did not use your chest, so you were able to save some energy and air to go longer than you needed to. You gave me like fake hustle right there. That was fake hustle.
I slapped the court on the ground.
He definitely went length over.
Right? He did. Yes.
Phrasing?
Did not. You didn't bring it.
It's like Bernie Mac. 3 minutes. It's all I got. You better get your looks. I'm going to get mine.
It just started to reach that point of where, you know, like her eyes look bored. She starts looking at her nails. Like that's where you are at that point.
It's like Dave Chappelle to Wrap It Up B. Yeah. Not even close.
Keep it real.
Exactly. You ready for me right now for my weekly segment?
Yeah, because you talk about it's the power hour. And it also is that time of the week that every fan looks for. And that's when Alan Han brings out that list. It is time for Triple H Han's Hoop Hierarchy, brought to you from Sandwell Institute for Pain Management. What you got for us this week, boss?
Basketball is my favorite sport.
Having a hard time figuring out where things fit?
Look, man, I ain't falling for no banana in my tailpipe.
You're in the right place.
What I say when it comes to this basketball team is the law.
Here's Han's Hoops Hierarchy.
Game. Blouses.
So we were trying to figure out what would be a good topic for this week, and what we decided was, because of, you know, some news being leaked today about this year's Hall of Fame class, which is always announced at the Final Four, then the induction is later in the year, like I think it's August or September, but still, you know who the class is at the Final Four. Last night, Clyde Frazier on the MSG broadcast revealed or leaked that Dick Barnett, right? Dr. Dick Barnett would be inducted in the Hall of Fame. So he made the class, so he's in. And there's also been reports that Vince Carter and Chauncey Billups will be inducted into the Hall of Fame. They will be part of the class as well.
Insanity.
And Chauncey and especially Vince. Now, Vince, you knew wasn't going to take long. Chauncey, though, was somebody that you're like, he belongs in the Hall of Fame because of the career that he had with Detroit and winning a championship, being the lead piece of that team and all that stuff. And so that was good to see. And some people thought that for a minute, Chauncey might have been a snub. Then we thought, okay, so who are the top five players who have, you could consider all-star, Hall of Fame snubs right now. Now, remember, it's the Basketball Hall of Fame. It's not the NBA Hall of Fame. So it's not just what you did at the pro level. So without further ado, Bart, I'm ready for my top five whenever you are ready to give me the numbers.
Number five.
Number five is, I just met this man. Actually, I met him. I saw him recently when I was in Phoenix with the Knicks on the road trip, and he was courtside. He was there for a Hall of Fame induction of a fellow Phoenix Sun player. He was a great Phoenix Sun player. He was also a mayor for a while of Sacramento. I believe he was actually on another list we made.
Oh, he not?
Of no.
Yeah, I already know.
He was on a list of basketball players turned politicians. It'd be Kevin Jizzle? Johnson. Yes, Jizzle. KJ. They say it's because he just doesn't have enough of the credentials when it comes to everything that he's done in career. They look at, well, he doesn't have a lot of all-star appearances and all. He was 5-time All-NBA and 3-time All-Star. Played on some great Phoenix Suns teams. Toughest nose point guard. I think he was.
Didn't he dunk on Jordan? Who was that? Olajuwon? He dunked on somebody.
Yeah, he had some nasty dunks, actually. I think he got one on Mark Eaton once. But I got Kevin Johnson at number five.
And he had mad waves. Waves was gangster.
He did have waves. You're right. He did. And he had a mustache, too.
Yeah, that's why I didn't trust him.
Next one.
Number four.
Number four. Now, there's two versions of this player you might remember if you're of a certain age. But Buck Williams, in the era of tough physical play, was one of the toughest.
He's the first.
And
Anthony
one of
Mason.
The most physical.
Yeah, he's like Anthony Mason before Anthony Mason. Nobody no doubt. Stepped to Buck Williams. He's a grown-ass man, dog. Yeah,
Buck Williams played 8 years with the Nets. 7 years in Portland, which is probably what most people remember him by, yeah. Because there, like, he was part of a really, really good team and a very physical team that got to a final. Buck Williams was an all-star 3 times. He was rookie of the year with the Nets. He actually finished his career last 2 seasons with the Knicks in the late 90s. But a well-respected, absolutely tough as nails, power forward.
TV averaged
a double-double for his entire career. This guy just was a rebounder extraordinaire. Buck Williams belongs in the Hall of Fame. That's number four.
Gangster Eric Dickerson goggles, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Later on in the career, went with the goggles, right.
And God rest his
but
soul.
But he had, like,
God,
he had the
– God rest his soul. He had that Carl Weather chest hair, too. Man, you touch okay. that, you might get a carpet burn.
He also had some guns. He had his arms like he was.
Yo, him and Otis Thorpe look like somebody mean ass uncles. Like that. But talk about bad boys. You don't want to come over him and Otis Thorpe.
Grown man strength. Yeah,
like,
so
man, Otis and Buck on the way over here. You better get out of here before Otis and Buck get over here, boy. I'm just telling you. You don't want to deal with old Otis and Buck.
All right. Well, that's four.
Number three.
Do you remember Tom Chambers?
Oh, man, come on. Terrific Tom Chambers. Quit playing. Tom Chambers from the Phoenix Suns? Come on. Yes. He ain't in.
Had a
Tom
mullet.
Tom a yam on you. Tom a yam on you, too.
Yes. He had a gorgeous mullet. I mean, just a gorgeous mullet. This guy was like, 6'10",
yes.
Just an athletic freak, a great scorer. I can't believe that he doesn't get enough respect. Over 20,000 points scored in his career. Had one season, he averaged 27 a game. 4-time All-Star, All-NBA a couple of times. He was an All-Star Game MVP. Like, this guy was no chump. He was no bum.
He was him.
Yeah, and I mean, he has one dunk. Look
Kelly
it up.
Chupuka, but he was gangster.
Kelly was a really good player. Chambers, by the way, has this one dunk. You got to see it.
Oh, who
it's on yet? Mark Jackson. It's against the Knicks. Mm. He rises up. His foot almost goes in Jackson's chest, and a two-handed off 1-foot dunk that's like – Yeah. Even me as a kid, as a Knicks fan, was like, oh, damn.
Yeah, he got that Mullins. That he got that Mullins St. John's mullet, too.
He had a flow. He had definitely had a flow. More hockey mullet on Tom Chambers. But Tom Chambers, to me, Hall of Fame.
I can't believe that one.
Number three.
Number three.
No, I already did number three.
Number two.
Number two. I think you'll like this one. This man was an NBA champion. He also, remember, it's not
the
just
microwave?
It's not the NBA Hall of Fame. It's the Basketball Hall of Fame. This guy was a champion at the college level and the NBA level. He was a great scorer of his time. 3-time All-Star.
Can I say it?
He was also in his championship year in college, the Final Four MVP.
Can I say it?
And he also was well known to be a guy that was that masked man.
Yes. Broke his nose more times than Mike Tyson opponents.
So who do you think it is?
rip Hamilton, baby. UConn's finest, son.
Yeah, he's really good player.
We forget the Washington Wizards version. You know what I'm saying? Playing with MJ. Come on.
Well, you don't worry about that. I'm just talking about the years in Detroit. Remember, so Chauncey's in, right, for all that he did. Think about it. Rip Hamilton was a great scorer on this team. This Pistons team might have only won one title. They went to two finals. They went to 8 years where they were at worst a conference finalist. Yes. You can't have one guy off that team in the Hall of Fame. And it's two. They have Ben Wallace in there.
Yeah.
Like Rip Hamilton is also a guy that you have to consider. They don't win without a guy like him and his scoring.
With Steph Curry, Steph Curry is to the 3-point line, he is to the mid-range.
Oh, mid-range,
he might be arguably
master
of
the mid-range.
He's talking about the perpetual motion. Yep. Like Steph just runs on the perimeter. He would be running off 25 screens just to get an elbow shot. You know what I'm saying?
He was nice. Yeah, Rip Hamilton is nice. So he belongs in that list as well. All right, last but not least, who do you think's number one, Bart?
Number one.
Can you guess? What's one guy that you know that in his time was the show? The absolute show. Like he was for a bit, he was shaking the NBA world, the basketball world. And in fact, you could argue that might have been part of the inspiration of the N1 mixtape era.
We going white chocolate? White chocolate ain't in?
No. I'm not going with him. Well, that's a pretty good one too. The Jason
Don't
Williams.
Say don't say Raheem. Sharif Raheem.
No, you're
Kenny.
No, you're thinking of you're right,
Kenny
way
Anderson.
Off. No, does anybody else want to jump in here, Ray?
Talking about
or Tom?
Shaking everybody?
I mean,
white chocolate was.
There's more to N1 than just, you know, the handles. There's another part of N1 that the mixtape was phenomenal if you had this guy's hops.
Okay.
Come on, man.
Hey, don't say Harold Mine or Glenn Ryan.
Jeez. All right. All right. It's painful.
Lifeline,
now.
Please. Come on. Come on, Ray. Dina Han. Come on, man. You produced the show. You supposed to already know the answers, man. Help a brother out. Kevin Duckworth.
There was a version of this man that we should have never seen. At the end of his career, there was a version of him that you're like, you're a shell of yourself. We don't want to see you look like that.
I know it ain't Sean Kemp.
Yes, it is.
What? Sean Kemp ain't, man, get out. The Rain Man, get the hell out. Man, get the hell out.
The Rain Man.
No, bro. If Gary
this
Payton
guy was
there,
a show.
Was that a
six-time All-Star? Three-time All-NBA.
Nah,
they got to a finals.
Stop it,
I mean, if it wasn't for Mike, I mean, everybody had to run into Michael. Right? You can't blame the guys in the 90s who couldn't beat Michael. You can't hold it
against
them.
Don't tell me Detlef Shrimp's in there.
Detlef Shrimp might be because he was a great European player. But no, Sean Kemp.
Are you serious? For real, you're not even playing. Sean Kemp's not in the Hall of Fame.
Sean Kemp's number one.
I thought that was like a no-brainer. I thought like him and Gary Payton been in the Hall of Fame. I told you one of my best friends wife got one of his kids. He got like 9 of them. She got one of them.
He did. He's also in that Hall of Fame. Yes, he is in the baby making Hall of Fame too.
Yeah, him, Travis Henry, Antonio Cromartie, Holyfield.
Mm-hmm. But he
George
was a show.
Foreman.
Like in his career, he was a show.
Junking on everybody, son. Yeah. I mean, he had mid range game too. He wasn't just a dunker.
No. But still, what he did dunk wise was just. I mean, you were afraid of a guy like that.
It's like he took Dominique to the next level. Like. Mm-hmm. Dominique was power, but he could come with the reverse 360.
Crazy.
Who did he dunk on and point on? Like, ooh, wait.
Oh, yeah. How many people?
The one he pushed him down and like pointed at him. Like, ha-ha. He pointed with the double point.
Is there anybody that you think I'm missing?
Nah, I mean, Sean Kemp. That is amazing that Sean Kemp's not in there.
Blows your mind, right?
I can't even believe that. Like he was him. He during the era, he was one of the guys.
You know, I think, you know, the idea is it just wasn't long enough. You know, like it was too quick.
Listen, we're not going to talk about the Cavaliers, Sean Kemp. Baby
no,
Keyshawn.
We don't want to discuss that version, right? That's what I mean. We saw that version, like, nah, nobody needs to see that.
They acting like he was like Oliver Miller or something.
I mean,
he was. There like was a time problem. That was a guy was, you had to stop.
There was a time that he, you know, you talk about how he got a lot of different people pregnant, and then there was a time when he looked pregnant.
Yeah, I tell you what, is Joe Johnson in?
Joe Johnson.
I think eventually he needs to be in.
You think so?
Him and Josh Smith was crazy. He just could jump. But like,
well,
Joe
that
Johnson,
was the highlight factory was a lot of fun. Yeah, that team was short lived, but it was a lot of fun.
But you don't think Joe Johnson played for a long time at a high level when he went to the Nets?
Great score, no doubt about it.
So if I could say anybody, I'd probably say Joe Johnson should be in too.
It's a shame because had he stayed with the Phoenix Suns instead of taking the money with Atlanta,
Yeah.
That Suns team might have had a chance.
Damn, I forget about the Suns days. I just remembered Atlanta and the Nets.
Mm. No, the Suns were the beginning for him.
Mm.
He was with that's the 7 seconds or less. He was at the very beginning of that.
Ooh.
And yeah, no, he was a beast.
He was like,
think about that team.
Too.
Think about that Suns team. Like that Gordon. Suns team had
the Matrix.
They had Steve Nash. They had Amari Stoudemire, who's then young and still ridiculously athletic, and they had Joe Johnson on that team.
And like, the Matrix was gone.
I don't know if I think he came after. I don't know if he was there yet, but he might have been.
Yeah.
There was a crazy trivia question today that I had a hard time with. By the way, you want to wrap up the Triple H here real quick?
Absolutely. That's Triple H, brought to you from Sandwell's Institute for Pain Management. For pain relief, visit sandwellpain.com today. And for all those who don't know what Triple H stands for, it's Hans Hoops Hierarchy.
Yes, sir. Woj also letting us know that you know who else is in the Hall of Fame for the third time. That's amazing.
Jason Kidd?
No, Jerry West.
Elected, executive
now,
coach.
Now it's for contributor.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he was inducted as a player, obviously, and also as a member of the 1960 U.S. Olympic team.
It's already logo, man. Just,
and now he's in as a contributor. I mean, crazy, right? Like this guy. You talk about one of the most honored.
So, yeah, who gets more flowers than him?
Yeah.
Tony win two titles. This is executive.
I mean, take it easy. He really was a great player.
I know, really? But he only won one title, man. Yeah, jeez.
Yeah, blame that on Wilt. I would love to have that conversation. Like, he actually has praised Wilt Chamberlain, but the fact that you lost Game 7 in 1970 to a center that's smaller than you with one leg.
Yeah.
Like, I'd have a hard time living with that.
I would attack Willis Reed. I would have knocked him down on purpose.
Like, could you imagine the conversation at halftime today if it's like, yo, Willis Reed has one leg. What are you doing? Like, right. How are you not just winning this game for us by yourself?
Nobody knew Clyde was going to do it. Eve was going to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, Clyde had one of the greatest game sevens ever. So the trivia question today on Get Up that they, of course, always put me – like, I'm like a deer in headlights with these things. I have no – like, you know Graziano is this encyclopedia where they give him trivia and he's like, oh, it's this. And he gets it right like almost every time. The question I had today was, in the 1 year – and that yes – there's only been one season in NBA history where the Lakers and Warriors both failed to make the playoffs. Just one time that's happened.
Damn,
every
that's,
year,
that's
it's
tough,
either
man.
Been one or the other in the postseason. That's nuts, right? So in the 1 year that happened, who won the title? So because there was no chance that I could just rifle through my head thinking of, oh, I know the year that they both didn't make the playoffs, because who thinks of that stuff?
Right.
So I figured, let me go with the odds and just take the team that's won the most titles. And the odds are that team probably was the one that won it. So
Boston,
I said the Celtics.
Or the Spurs. Probably was the Spurs.
And you're right. It was the Spurs.
Sound like some Vadi Divas, Tony, like when they were making that transition. Cool, like with the,
no, it was later than that. It was after they lost in the finals to the Pistons. After the Karl Malone and all that stuff blew up.
Yeah, the next year.
Yeah, then they traded Shaq away.
Right.
And the next year they didn't make
Before they got Paul Gasol
and
everything. And
I never, in my head, I'm like, I don't remember Kobe not being in. Like, it shocked me.
You had no idea what the playoff history of the damn Golden State Warriors was before Steph Curry.
Are you kidding me? You think I paid any attention to that?
You're talking about sporadic. You got like, all right, well, is this the Chris Webber years?
Yeah, right. They might have had
it. Or Monte Ellis.
Was this Run TMC? Like, they were good.
Like Montel Ellis.
My first guess was going to be the Rockets because I thought in 94, I know the Lakers didn't make it, and I thought the Warriors sucked back then, right? So they probably didn't make it, but they did. They lost in the first round. So I was wrong on that. So I went Celtics, and I was wrong. And it was Spurs in 04-05, which is like, all right, whatever.
Hambo calls you in just to get his confidence up because Graz would be killing him.
And I was covering hockey then, so I'm allowed to not have recollection of this. But seriously, can you imagine that only one time in the history of the league did you have a playoffs where neither one of these franchises were in? And also, by the way, reminding everybody that there was a time when nobody cared about the Golden State Warriors. Like, nobody, like, that wasn't a franchise that was well known. Baron Davis had that incredible, you know, remember that first round upset as an 8 seed? Like, Baron Davis, that was one of their great moments. Aside from that, in modern history, Run TMC, you had that for a little bit, but they, you know, they
the
were
Chris Webbers and the Petrovich and the Turkaloos, they had a little run, though. Mike Bibby.
It wasn't like, no, you're thinking of
Bobby Jackson.
All right, now you're talking about the Kings.
Oh, duh.
You just combined two teams.
Yeah.
Northern California, whatever. Yeah. No, but it also proves my point. Like, nobody really, ever since Steph Curry has made the Golden State Warriors into not only a brand, but also into, like, you know, you think about the Warriors as this elite franchise. They never were considered like that before. They were just, they were just a team. They were like the Kings. You know, they were like any other team. Like, all right, that's what they are.
Yeah, CMC.
Been around forever, but who cares? But, you know, now all of a sudden it's but I'll tell you what, I don't think you're going to see the Warriors get out of the play-in.
Me either.
They're playing well right now.
Clay is going. They hold on by the chair. They chinny chin chin. And Houston's lost some games. Just youth, immature, getting to a big.
Yeah, Houston. They had to win 11 in a row just to get back in it.
That other dude went to. That other dude is playing in Greece. The dude that got kicked off team for the domestic violence. Porter.
Yes.
How good do we think he could have been? How much better would this team had it been if they still had him?
They wouldn't. They wouldn't, because he's.
He's a log kind jam.
Of, he's all over the place. Like, you know, a guy like him has – he's one of those guys where it's talent that you're intrigued by and want to see if you can teach it and, you know, like, kind of harness it. And then you realize that it's the personality and the talent, they're at war with each other.
So it's no surprise that he had a discretion off the field.
Yeah, that's just been the problem. It's certain guys have that, and he has that. He's great talent, but it's the talent and the personality are at war. And that's an internal war that no coach can deal with, that the person has to deal with at some point. And unfortunately, it'll probably hit him when he's older, when it's too late. When the talent's gone, the personality realizes it's screwed up. Those are the sad stories, aren't they?
Yep.
When you see them and they find out too late.
Potential, yep.
800-919-3776. Derek in Harlem. What's up, Derek?
Hey, what's up, man? I've been trying to call for a minute, but they've been kicking my meetings between 12 and 3. I told them to stop. Real quick, Bart is right about Wawa Island. I'm sorry. He is right. You got to go with it. It's the spot. It was. And the Yankees do got a mascot. I'm going to hit y'all up on Twitter. Bart Hall, just make sure your wife is not looking. But the Yankees got a mascot.
The Yankees have a mascot.
For sure. Oh, yeah. I'm going to show you. You're going to see it.
Send
that to Bart and Hine, Young Punk.
All right, yeah, send that to us.
It's special. Okay, so me and my brother, we looked up the Jalen Brunson stats. If you look at Luka is first in field goal attempts. He's second in free throw, and he's second in three-point. Now, Jalen, he is second in field goal attempts, 14 in free throws, and he's 27 in threes. That means he's driving to the lane more and getting less foul calls than Luka, who's taking more threes. So, like, Tibbs got to kind of look. He got a little bit, you know, there. I get what you're saying. Complain, but is he complaining more about, like, crunch time foul calls? That's when he's not getting them.
Yeah, I think, Derek, first of all, crunch time is the when you don't get him nearly as much. But I think the argument to be made is less about field goal attempts and where. And what you're saying is on point. Like, I did this the other day where I looked to see the Jalen Brunson, by the way, he takes the second most field goal attempts between 5 and 9 feet. He's the second highest, like, as far as efficiency, from 5 to 9 feet. You know who's number one? Nikola Jokic. Like, it just shows you, like, what he's doing is what seven-footers do. And he's shooting 54%. So Brunson is scoring a lot of his points in the painted area. He's not a guy that relies on the three-point shot nearly as much. So you would think, okay, a 6'2 guy going into the paint, there's got to be contact, right? He's got to be getting hit. His free throw attempts, though, are not in the top 10 in the league. So that's the thing you're wondering is what's the imbalance? And all I could say is that it's the way he plays. It's not like he's posting up and doing drop step moves and taking contact. He's got his defenders that are off balance. His pump fakes and his ball fakes and everything else are elite. So is he trying to draw contact as well? Does he see that as an opportunity because his defender's off balance? I think the officials have seen it that way. And because they're watching video, just like players do on it, they've now got it in their heads to watch for Brunson trying to draw a foul versus trying to just score. And they don't want to give him that call. That's as simple as that. He's got a reputation now, fair or unfair, it's a real thing because it's been told to me by people in the league. He's got a reputation now. And it's a simple, and I know Tibbs is probably, thank you, Derek, and I'm going to look forward to that mascot thing. He's got a reputation now. It's a real thing, and he's got to adjust to it. And you can tell that Tom Thibodeau is extremely frustrated by it. But the ironic thing is that the physical defense the Knicks want to play is the same physical defense they don't want played against Brunson. That's reality.
You know what we call that? The same thing make you laugh, make you cry.
That's exactly how I would put it. 800-919-3776 is the number. At the start of the show, there was a trade in the NFL that drew a lot of headlines. It didn't surprise you on the surface because you kind of had a feeling that this divorce was coming. But now that the move is made, when you look as the dust settles and you see that what's left in Buffalo after Stephon Diggs has been traded to the Houston Texans makes you wonder, are the Bills still the team to beat in the division? And do the Jets have a better chance to win the division now than ever before? We'll discuss that and more with you coming up. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
He's getting fouled. 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 He's getting fouled.
That will live forever.
Chubby sandwiches.
That will live forever. No doubt. Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. All right, well, back to your calls in a moment. Before the show started, though, Shefty had the report that the Bills would be trading Stephon Diggs to the Houston Texans. It's another exodus of another key player for the Bills coming off their season. And it's interesting. He makes this, Shefty also gave us this list. So these are the players the Bills have moved on from this season. Diggs is the top of the list right now. Gabe Davis was another wide receiver that he was a free agent. They let him go. He went to Jacksonville. They have moved on defensively from players like Leonard Floyd, Jordan Poyer, Tre'Davious White. I mean, you're talking about these are key pieces of a team that has been one of the top teams in the AFC over the last 4 to 5 seasons. And so when you look at this list, you look at the offseason they've had, changes that have gone on there, you do have to ask yourself, are they as good as they were in the past? Should we hold them in the same level that we've held them for the last several years as one of those tough teams in the AFC you're going to have to deal with? And on top of it, in the AFC East. On Get Up this morning, I was on, but I always sit in the studio and watch the football segments. Greeny was talking about, this is before this trade was even announced, Greeny was talking about Hassan Reddick coming to the Jets and his optimistic take on how good he thinks the Jets can be. And he brought up the idea of the Jets have enough talent to win the AFC East. And Booger McFarland said absolutely not. Like, would not even consider it. Said no.
Hater.
And I'm saying, how could you say absolutely not when you consider the Bills aren't what they were? Miami's lost some key pieces. And yes, I know that it is still a house of cards in Florham Park when it comes to a team that has a lot of players with injury history. I completely understand it. But it doesn't mean you can't think that they have a chance if guys stay healthy and they play, never mind play at a high level. Just if guys just are who they are, this Jets team could contend for the division. And it's a real thing to think.
And they signed some guys, honestly, who don't have injury history. So, like, what are we talking about? Like, they make it seem like everybody they sign, you got Tyron Smith and Mike Williams.
Well, it's injury history on both of them.
Yeah, but what about the other three? What about Moses? What about
Moses
Hassan
came in
Reddick?
With a pec injury.
Yeah, but he didn't miss any games.
Well, he surgery,
played through
though.
It. Yeah, but yes. He didn't miss any games. So, like, what are we talking about? Everybody gets surgery after the season. Didn't Julius Randle get surgery after the season last year?
On the ankle.
But he still played. Like, mm-hmm. That's what I don't get. Like, sometimes these false narratives and people just jump on the narrative. They brought in three starters that play at a high level that don't miss games.
But you got to admit, Bart, there is risk to this.
Of course.
It's There's like, risk. But I'm with you.
We can say that to everybody who signs somebody. We can say that to.
But not at this level. There's so many guys that come in with the injury concerns.
It's three.
Well, it's your also the three guys you brought in plus your own players already had that. That's all we're saying. Listen, it's funny how I'm arguing with you about something we're agreeing on. You know what I mean? I'm arguing with you about something we agree on. We both agree that the window to win the division is very much open this year. We'll see what the Bills do from here, but right now they are not nearly as big and bad or scary as they were in the past. They have Josh Allen still, but they don't have a ton of talent around him right now. Miami is, of course, a team you have to worry about, and they tore you up offensively last year. You got to admit that. But when it just comes down to it, as we look at it on paper, for Booger to say absolutely not, to me, even though he might have been just tweaking Mike Greenberg just to get him, you know, fired up, I just don't think you can do that. I think they very much have to be in the conversation for the division. Now, on the flip side of this trade is also from the Giants' perspective. There's some concern, like, well, why didn't the Giants – they need a playmaker. They don't have one. Why didn't the Giants, you know, who Daboll have worked with him, he knows him. Why didn't they – Joe Shane was part of the front office that brought him in. Like, why didn't the Giants go get him? Maybe it's because they know exactly what the Bills know, which is this guy's a pain in the ass and we don't need him right now. This is not what we need. And so we're all set. That has to be the answer. It can't be that the Giants just didn't know he'd be available. You know they knew. It has to be because as much as we need his talent, our room does not need all the stuff that comes with him. And all that was on display in Minnesota and then again in Buffalo. The Giants don't need that right now. They've got to find a quarterback before they worry about finding a wide receiver to put with their quarterback.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you think about it, you know, they got a young team, a young locker room. They're trying to build a culture. This is a guy that's trying to win a championship. I mean, he went to Houston, and he probably had to okay it. They probably talked to him about it, and they wanted to do right by him maybe. I mean, how bad you got to not just want to get a guy out to eat $31 million in cap space?
Yeah, and take a second-round pick, not this year, but in the future.
Right, so that tell me, like,
not,
man,
even getting your wide receiver in this year's draft.
They just got tired of hearing him whine, and maybe, who knows? I don't know if you can. What's the rules?
Well, remember last year he didn't show up for camp, like the first day of camp. They didn't know where he was.
There ain't nothing to see here. He went home, right?
Yeah, and then it was all about the money. It was all about his contract. He wasn't happy. Like, it's just like it's always something, and you want to just eradicate players like this if they're not producing.
And this is the second place that he wore his welcome on.
That's right. And who's to say the Texans had a really nice thing going last year?
Yeah,
you know, and CJ Stroud is clearly emerging as their leader. This guy comes in and starts acting up.
Start forcing the ball to him, and then now he's throwing picks, and the ball not going where it's supposed to go. And it's like, well, you got to get him his touches because he start acting crazy, start coming to me saying, hey, man, throw me the ball. And then Nico, like, yo, hold up, bro.
Uh-huh.
Like, I respect you, but I'm him over here. I'm Himothy. I'm the number one. And then, you know, Tank Dell, like, man, hey, man, like all those little in the slot pass and stuff like that, that's what I get. That's how I eat. Nico's mm-hmm. deep. I'm intermediate route runner, man. Like, you, hey, man, you taking up too much space, man. Like, mm-hmm. hey, I don't know what to tell you, bro. Like, you already got yours. I'm trying to get mine. Like, you need to calm down, bro.
So basically, like, if the Giants, like, for anybody that's wondering why weren't the Giants in on it, I think the answer is pretty obvious, right? They don't have to come out and say it. Did you guys check in on Stephon Diggs? You know, yeah, it wasn't for us. You know why.
I'd rather get Brandon Ayuk, who's younger, who can come here, and he can be number one / number two, and I can go get a Doomsday and have, like, you talk about have somebody to throw to like that. You go from not having no number one to having two number ones, Ayuk. Mm-hmm. Who's used to kind of sharing, you know, with Debo, but, you know, came into his own with over 1,000 yards last year, carried the team while, you know, and it looks like they're in a stalemate. They can't come up with the number. So you can have a expensive guy, and then you can go get your cheap guy, whether it's Malik Nabers who drops or if it's a Doomsday that drops. We don't anticipate that it's going to be a guy like Marvin Harris. But, you know, outside of that, man, you put, like, a Doomsday with Ayuk. That's something.
800-919-3776. Let's get back to the calls, shall we? Walter's in the car. Hey, Walter.
Hey, Alan, good afternoon. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, listen, there's 2 points I wanted to bring up. One is a correction, and number two is a disagreement. The correction I want to bring up, you brought up the Golden State Warriors, and I'm obviously dating myself because I had the pleasure of watching these teams. They were a solid perennial playoff team in the early and mid-70s. Plus, you forgot to mention that they won that NBA championship on that team. They had Rick Barry, Jamal Wilkes, Nate Thurmond, Clyde Lee, all those guys.
78?
Jeff Mullins, Jim Barnett.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was that a bushel basket?
No. He's right. He's right.
I know.
But Walter, I think the point
– free throw shooting.
The point I was making, though, is that era, the NBA wasn't the NBA, right? Like we know today. So what I mean is when you talk about franchises, they're an original. Like we know the Warriors are a historic franchise. But the point I'm making, they started in Philadelphia. What they are now is in the level of the Lakers and Celtics when it comes to franchises that are considered like great foundational franchises. But they weren't considered that for many, many years. They were just another franchise. They weren't bad, they weren't good. They had good years, but what they are now with Steph Curry, since Steph got
it's
there,
a standard.
That brand is much larger than it used to be. I think right. That's all I was trying to say there. It didn't mean they never had a good past.
My next point, Bart's going to disagree with, Chauncey Billups was a real nice player. Mm-hmm. But what's happening with these Hall of Fames, and you look at baseball as well, the standards that we want people to reach, it's being watered down. Guy like Phil Rizzuto, how is he in the Hall of Fame? A guy like Harold Baines, how is he in the Hall of Fame? Real nice players, no question about it. They won championships, but because they were on a championship team, they made the All-Star team a couple of times. That's not a Hall of Famer in my book.
Yeah,
you're
bringing
up Richard Hamilton as well. Mm-hmm. Richard Hamilton, real nice player, mm-hmm. certainly not a Hall of Famer.
See, so
Walter,
I used to fall for this trick, and I used to say, man, they's not a Hall of Famer, they're diluting it, until I realized that it's the Basketball Hall of Fame and not the NBA Hall of Fame. So what Rip Hamilton contributed to those UConn years and what
Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony is a Hall of Famer because he won a championship at Syracuse as a freshman. Like his NBA career make him a Hall of Famer.
It's a bonus because what he did overseas, right? Ginobili, like I got off of that too once I realized they was talking about the Basketball Hall of Fame and not the NBA Hall of Fame.
Now Chauncey wasn't like an outstanding college player with an outstanding college career. He's a Colorado
Brunson?
Player. I would say that Chauncey, the reason why I put Chauncey there, you know, Walter, and I get what you're saying, but when you're the best player and the most important piece on an NBA champion and a team that 8 years in a row was either in the finals or the conference finals. Like, they had a hell of a run. Like, that says a lot. You got to acknowledge the era that he had and that he belongs in the Hall of Fame because in his time, he was one of the best players in the league. Like, you got to acknowledge
that. There's a lot of guys. Al, you look back, there's a lot of guys over the course of the NBA history that are real nice players that have been, you know, a main cog on a championship team.
But not for 8 years. Walter, we're talking about 8 years.
Like, well, yeah, a main piece run
for eight years.
Yeah, when you're like, that's like Utah Jazz, Stockton, right, and Malone. You know, right, they never won a championship, but for 8 years in a row, 10 years in a row, they were a great team, but they didn't win a championship. But they were a great team. Those guys are Hall of Famers. You don't argue that. Like, it's, I just think it's,
he's going to say Carl won MVP.
Well, but yeah, okay, but still, all right. Walter, thank you though. But you know, I think
it's a
sometimes
basketball Hall of Fame.
I don't know why we have to get so stringent on some of this stuff, because remember, in the word, it's not the Hall of Greatness. It's the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's not the Hall of MVP.
The famous, your fame as a player. And your fame has to do with a lot of things that you did as a player. And when you've had a run of success like I think Chauncey had with those Pistons teams, you got to acknowledge it. When you were a great, like Rip Hamilton won a championship, was the most outstanding player in the Final Four, and then he goes to the NBA and is a key piece of an NBA champion, you got to think about that. You got to think about it. Now, he's not in, and I'm not saying, like, I'm not beating a drum saying he belongs in. I'm just saying those are things you have to think about. And he's not in.
You know me, but I made the argument for Rasheed Wallace.
You know, that's another name that some people will bring up. But still, like, I do think we debate about this stuff, and it's, you're not realizing that in that time, he's one of the best players in the sport. And his team, he's the best player on a team that had a run like that.
Yeah.
Now, you could all say Ben Wallace was the best player, and Ben Wallace in the Hall of Fame. So maybe you want to say that, well, it was really Ben Wallace. Chauncey was the leader of that team. Ask anybody.
Exactly.
All right, 800-919-3776. So we'll finish up with some calls and some final thoughts, of course.
I don't want to know today, Island.
I
don't want to know what traffic's looking like.
You don't want to know? Well, let me first tell you about this, though. Because you can bet the NBA with a no-sweat same-game parlay from FanDuel every Thursday with TNT Thursdays. Doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. You get bonus bets back if your same-game parlay doesn't win on any of the NBA on TNT games. So NBA same-game parlays are the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance to score a bigger payday. You've got a couple of games tomorrow. Nuggets-Clippers, very interesting game. Because I've always thought the Clippers were the team that's built to beat the Nuggets. They have physical size. They've got three stars. They got good wings. But I'll tell you what, I don't mean just Buffalo wings. I mean, they actually have good wing players. But the Denver Nuggets look unbeatable, and Jokic looks unstoppable. So in a game like this, do you do like a parlay where it's take the over in points? Do you take Jokic for a triple-double? A lot of little things you could play in a game like this, because the Clippers have been playing like crap lately. However you want to play, just head to FanDuel.com/Allen, bet the NBA with a no-sweat same-game parlay with TNT Thursdays. That's FanDuel.com/Allen. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 or older, physically present in New York. Minimum three-leg parlay required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com for help with a gambling problem. Call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, K-Show coming up just in a few moments. Give you another tournament update driven by Nissan. So Friday on ESPN, you get the Women's Final Four. 12 million people watched just the Elite Eight. So imagine how many are going to tune in for this Final Four, because these are great matchups. South Carolina and NC State is at 7 p.m. Remember, South Carolina is the undefeated team that nobody's talking about. That is followed by, this is the showcase game, Iowa with Caitlin Clark and UConn, Paige Beckers and company, at 9 p.m. The men's Final Four, oh, by the way, the men are also playing. Saturday at 6 p.m., Purdue and NC State, and that's UConn and Alabama, and that's the UConn-Alabama game is at 9 p.m. It's the first time in history that two schools sending both men's and women's team to the Final Four, UConn and NC State. So it'll be fun weekend in the Final Four for both, but which one will you be watching more? Which one will you be more compelled to watch more? That's the Tournament Update driven by Nissan, coming at you with all the excitement of a Hollywood blockbuster at the Nissan Thrill of the Drive sales event. Shop impressive savings at NissanUSA.com today. So, Bart, Angel Reese did declare for the WNBA. Caitlin Clark is also going to be doing the same. And it just makes you wonder, like, are they taking a pay cut? Like, how much are they going to lose? Like, seriously.
What are the WNBA going to do? Because to be taken seriously, we can't be sending our best and our brightest, to other countries to play because they value them more than we do. Like, we need to do a better job at it. Even if you take money from the NBA, and everybody will talk about,
Well, if you start doing that, but wouldn't older players
stuff like that?
Older players then start saying, "Hang on a second, I should be." So the rookie salary, right, depends on draft position. So the range is for a rookie. $64,000 for the season to $76,000 in your first year. Yeah. Caitlin Clark expected to go number one, so it's probably going to be about, like I said to you earlier, $76,000 for a number one pick. Angel Reese will be a top 10 pick for sure. So, I mean, they're making millions right now in college on NIL deals.
Yeah, man, I'd rather go play with Ice Cube.
If Ice Cube offered her $5 million.
Yeah, and I would have took that, like –
there has to be something the league can do, though.
Like,
right?
I see y'all after I've been playing the big three half court.
In what world do you leave college and take a pay cut? In what world?
Well, I mean, Keyshawn did.
We know you didn't. Exactly. All right, K-Show's coming up next. Bart, I will see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.